It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's
live from the greatest radio studio on the planet, period. You should see our view. I'm just talking about it off the air a second ago. It's cool. Come by. And sponsored by Signature Bank. Time for the download of Chicago Business. And, you know, you hear the word startup all the time. Well, Melissa Kaufman's here, and she lived the Silicon Valley thing, and then she decided to come to Chicago and reinvent it right here, at least be a big part of that story. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Great being here. I agree. The view is spectacular.
Now, you leave Silicon Valley. That's the home office for tech.
It really is.
Is it a mental jump to say, I'm going to Chicago, or was Chicago starting to be recognized as the startup hub that we believe it to be?
I think it's still early days. When I moved here from San Francisco, a lot of friends in the startup community and venture capital said, oh, there's not much going on in Chicago. And I said, well, that can't possibly be true.
Right.
And I've really been surprised to see what a vibrant tech ecosystem is flourishing here.
So tell people what the garage is.
Yeah, so the garage is a space on the Northwestern campus for Northwestern students that are interested in startups or starting their own venture while they're in school.
But this isn't just about business. This is about people trying to figure out how to do what business they'll do,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I think, you know, this is a trend in higher academia. A lot of schools are creating a space like the garage. What differentiates us is that we're really focused on the student and helping them develop an entrepreneurial mindset so that they can be successful in whatever they choose to do.
How big a part of that is learning how to fail?
A huge part of it. I listen to there's a podcast called How I Built This. And if you hear any story from a great entrepreneur, you'll hear about all the things that they failed at before they got it right.
Well, in a percentage in tech, because there's so many people doing it, there's so much money that's infused. But, you know, venture capitalists, 1 out of 10 is a home run. I would assume the tech number is probably even smaller than that. So you better get used to, you had a great idea, we need to tweak it, now we got to start over, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's even more radical than that. Northwestern students are highly accomplished. They come in, they have to get great test scores and all of these things to get in, so they're not really comfortable or used to failing at anything. So it's a little bit of, you know, breaking them down and building them back up and getting them comfortable with the idea of new things.
How do the students come to you? Do they have to be admitted into the garage? Or
no, so the space is open to any Northwestern student, undergrad, graduate, PhD level, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. They can walk in and be in our space or talk to a mentor, get help. We have a couple of programs that are application-based for the students that want to set up a physical office at the garage and make it their home base for their startup.
Now, you were at Google. You left to do this, or was there an in-between?
There's a couple in-between. So I worked at two Silicon Valley startups. My background's all in consumer technology, so one was in fashion and one was in shopping. And then I started my own company doing influencer marketing before anyone knew what that was.
Did you know you wanted to be a teacher? Because that's part of your gig now, right?
I didn't. You know, this has been my favorite job I've ever had. I think going into it, I always really liked mentoring and helping younger students, but I didn't realize I had a true passion for it until I started doing this job.
How big a deal is people skills in tech? Because we look at, you know, code writers are kind of, well, the social skills sometimes, I don't want to grossly generalize here, but code writers and social skills generally are two things that don't go together. So for techies, do you have to teach them social skills? And I don't mean, hi, how are you? But simple things we talk about now, I'm 57. You know, my kids are the first generation of millennials that only occasionally look at you in the eye because they're looking at their screens. Is that a part of this at all?
I don't know if we're directly teaching social skills, but we are teaching the importance of interdisciplinary teams. Northwestern's a very interdisciplinary school.
So being able to work with someone.
Exactly. We have a great MBA program, a strong journalism school, an excellent engineering school. So bringing people together from these different corners of the university and teaching them how to work together as a team is one of the most important things that they'll learn.
How do you handle, you know, not everyone wants feedback and things. I watch The Prophet a lot, and they ask The Prophet to come in, but then they decide it's not going to work for them because they don't actually want to take the input. How do you handle if one of the students comes in, they have ideas and things, but then they don't want the mentoring and then they just stop? Like, personally, how do you handle that?
So for a student like that, I mean, my job is, and my staff's job is, not to tell them if their idea is good or bad. It's for them to figure that out. So what we're often telling them is, you know, here's the next step you might want to take in your venture. Why don't you go try this and then come back to us and let us know what happened.
Is it hard if you know the idea is not going to work and you have to wait for them to get to that point?
No, in some ways, that's actually one of my favorite parts. I'd much rather that a student learns that while they're still in school rather than when they're out in the real world.
Part of the reason this the segment of the show exists is because we want to have your experience, help teach other people how to, you know, maybe apply some of those skills to where they work. Patience, is that something you can teach, or is that something that's kind of an innate thing?
I think it's something that you maybe learn with experience and time.
Right. Experience being the big part of that?
100%.
How were you as a student? Do you see yourself in these students?
Oh, my. These students are just light years ahead of, I think, where I was as a college student, probably where we all were as college students. They have so much potential. I think what I really like seeing is kind of giving them superpowers while they're, you know, in their 19, 20, 21 years old. I can't wait to see what these students will be doing in 15, 20 years. I think they'll be running the world.
Is ego a good thing in tech?
I think confidence is a good thing in tech. I think in order to bring any new idea into this world, you have to really believe in yourself. You're going to hear a lot of no's, but you have to keep it in balance. I think there is such thing as kind of having too big of a head and then being too headstrong, so you have to be confident yet malleable.
Gender-wise, is it...
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. So the first year is about, we're 3.5 years old. It was about 25% the first year. We did some events and programming, got it up to about a third. And then this year we had what's called a residency program. The students that are incubating a startup at the garage was 50-50 male and female student founders.
Now, you look extremely young for all the experience you've had. Do you occasionally go undercover as a student? I'm one of you people.
I dress pretty casually at work in jeans and sometimes like Allbird shoes. And it's usually the parents that come in and say, hey, are you a graduate student?
Do you know where the teacher is?
And I love it.
Yeah, of course. Mary Sandberg asked you about the gender split on this. Yeah. Do women get a fair shake in tech?
It's an evolving area of improvement.
Fast enough?
No, but I think that it really can start at the university level, which is what I'm taking a big crack at. What I found is that the women lack the confidence. They think that they need more skills, more classes, more experience before they can really take the plunge. And we're trying to show them that you just need to believe in yourself and have people to support you.
That's important to hear. The evolution of Silicon Valley is sort of something you don't see in other businesses. But then again, maybe it does repeat because the money that's needed to do these startups, to create something like Google even, generally comes from old school money. You know, it's guys that have had success in business and women have success in families, whatever. Is that still a hindrance? You got to have the money to do it, but does it slow things down?
You do, but I think that's changing. So one of the startups I worked at was called Polyvore. Jessica Lee, who's she's the first female partner at Sequoia Capital. So she was CEO of that company, is now first female partner there. Katrina Lake just took Stitch Fix to an IPO, I think, last year.
Stitch Fix, they'll never amount to anything.
These are women that I knew and watched their whole journey from kind of, you know, startup to big success.
But there is some VC bias of, and the opening bell, Steve Brzanich and I used to talk to a lot of people of that the female funded startups was a much smaller portion than the male funded, because sometimes those people with the money, they want their nobody's going to want to do a shopping app. You know,
I think now that there are those women that are angel investing and are in leadership roles in venture capital firms, that gives them some ability to look at those ideas that maybe the guys couldn't see. I myself am a venture partner at Chicago Ventures. It's all male partners mm-hmm. right now, but I think I can bring kind of a lens that's maybe different from the traditional VC.
What drew you to tech?
I love building new things. I think that's what's also attracted me to the garage. It was a new space and a white space opportunity to build something that was unique. And I really enjoy that process of bringing new things into this world. It's why I wanted to be in tech. It's why I studied computer science and why I do what I do today.
And creative thinkers such as yourself and hopefully the rest of us, at least in this business, that doesn't get shut off. When you're teaching other kids, these ideas must pop into your head. You're probably inspired by these kids in a lot of ways. Can you see yourself doing this for a long time, or are there other ideas you're percolating that you want to chase?
I do. I it's like every time I think I'm done with the garage, I see another opportunity, another way we can improve our program. We're expanding to the Chicago campus right now. We have our law school and our med students. Some of our evening and weekend Kellogg students are on the Chicago campus, so we'll be opening a small satellite here. We have a space out in San Francisco looking to involve. We have a lot of alums that work out in the Valley and that do tech, so looking to get them more involved as well. So I see nothing but opportunity.
Dave and I have an idea we wanted to pitch you.
Okay, let's hear it.
We're a little older, we might be out of touch. It's called faxing. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Dave.
I think it's a sure hit.
I think if the mixtape can come back.
I'm glad you mentioned mixtapes because that's part of our company. It's great to meet you, and congratulations on all of your success. If folks are listening, parents or grandparents who have kids that are going to be incoming freshmen at Northwestern, is it obvious how to get in touch with you guys?
You know, we're a little hidden. We're in the North Parking Garage on the second floor. We're open Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 for everybody, so come stop by.
I love the idea that you're in a parking garage.
Yeah, and I park in that garage a lot. And I've always, I look in there as we go by on the elevator.
And
I ride the elevator with a lot of the students, and I always feel immediately so much dumber being on the elevator with these kids.
Let me tell you something right now. You could take your Prodigy desktop or your Commodore, bring it in there with your 2.8 modem, and you'd be welcomed. You could be the before picture.
I'm going to do that. That okay, Melissa?
Stop by anytime.
Nice to see you. Congratulations on all the success, and I hope you love Chicago.
I do. This is a great city.
Won't be long. Winter will be over.
I can't wait.